Hello, hello, hello. It's your girl, Angie B on Crystal's View, and it's Monday. Money Talk Monday, that is. I've been doing the series on Focus on the Family by Chuck Bentley. If you want, you can check out this website. It's pretty much amazing. It's faith-based. So if you are a Christian, or even if you're not, the information is actually really great. A great way to apply financial knowledge within your relationship. A lot of us go to counseling for these very issues that cause divorce in relationships. So we're on week 4. Okay. And yeah, I know I skipped a week, haha, or two. I've been out of the loop a little bit. I've been in the middle of a move and getting myself sorted. So this is week 4's recording. I'm probably going to do a double recording today. Ha ha ha. Lucky me, huh? All right. And the subject is tithing when your spouse objects. Some people this weighs heavily for in their relationship. Again, if you're not the type that goes to church or, gives to even, you can actually apply this if you're the type to be a philanthropist and your spouse isn't a philanthropist, this can actually fall along those lines. So if you do own a Bible, the particular verses that this subject is going to touch is Genesis chapter 14, verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. And then what's going to happen this episode is that you're going to understand what tithing is. You're going to think about possible conflicts, and then you're going to find resolutions if only one of your spouse is a tither or philanthropist. Okay. I'm going to place it like that because if you're giving, you're giving. And then the close. So stay tuned. This is going to be another great, great show, especially when it comes to your marriage and your money. It's your girl, Angie B. Stay tuned. And we're back after our little break we just took. All right. So now we're going to understand what the hey is tithing anyway, according to the Bible. And Genesis 14, 20, God's word describes the tithe as a testimony to God's ownership, according to Focus on the Family article. So it's through tithing that Abraham acknowledged God's ownership. Thus, God was able to direct and prosper him. So when we tithe, we receive direction, and through direction, we get prosperous. So it shows good faith, right? Kind of like when we're putting down on a home and you give that good faith deposit saying that you're going to execute the contract, right? That's showing good faith. So then after the contract is executed, you get the house, the prosperity, the money. This just simply says that God's freedom cannot be experienced in the area of finances unless these three specific things happen. Get your pen and paper handy. I know that Money Talk Mondays tend to be a little jumble of things, but please, please, please get your pens out because you're going to get notes on notes on notes. And remember, if you're not the religious type, that's fine. But these are fundamentals that you're really going to use in your relationships. I was taught that a marriage is a covenant. All right. It is between God, you, and your spouse. Okay. I'm just saying. Don't shoot the messenger. Okay, so these three things need to happen in order for you to experience God's freedom. Okay. If they don't happen, then you won't experience it. So first, God's ownership is acknowledged over everything, and our role of stewards who have been placed over his possessions is accepted when we tithe. All right. Second, the first part is surrendered back to God. So you're being a little submissive, not a little, a whole lot of, okay? But in that submissive, you're surrendering it to God. You're saying, God, look, here, I have faith enough to believe in you to give you this because I know that you're going to take care of me, right? And number three, there is an understanding that God supplies a surplus above basic needs in order to help those in need, okay? So these are the reasons why we should be tithing. All right. So in the Old Testament, okay, the Hebrew people brought approximately like 23% of their increase to the Lord's storehouse. Okay. These are literal physical places where they go and they give 23%. All right. The keepers of the storehouse, the Levites, in turn used what was given to care for the widows, needy foreigners in the area, orphans, and themselves. So this is initially what the church is supposed to be doing when you tithe. When you tithe, the church is supposed to care for widows, needy foreigners in the area, orphans, and themselves. Okay. You got that? Okay, so in the New Testament, the people no longer brought their tithes and offerings to a physical storehouse. Instead, they gave of their increase in tithes, offerings, and alms to the church body. Okay, so the church, again, remember how I spoke on that just a little bit in the beginning? The church then would use the tithe for spreading of the gospel. Okay. The offerings were used for the general and administrative support for the church, and alms were used to care for, again, the poor, widows, orphans, and needy. This is now you understand why your tithe is so important and how the community benefits from you giving. All right. It's almost like our governmental structure, right? We pay taxes, but taxes are not the same as tithing because you're giving according to what you can. Taxes are, I'm not going to get into that right now, but essentially that's what it is. The taxes that you pay on something versus your tithing, which is a free will. Taxes isn't really a free will thing. It's kind of something we have to do, huh? But they play the same role. Because at that time, the church led the cities and the places that they were, right? Okay. So I hope now you get like a little clearer of an understanding of what tithing is in a relationship and why it's important or important to you as a person who's a part of the city or a part of the body of a church to do it. Okay, so we're going to take another little break and then we're going to get into conflicts, all right, on tithing. All right, okay, I'll be back. And we're back from our little break we just took. Now we're going to go over conflict over tithing. And again, we're still on the focusonthefamily.com article that I've been like reading through. Originally, I had decided to do this series because, I mean, like I said before in many, many of my episodes, I am married. So I love to go through topics that relate to me. I mean, who really doesn't do research? But I found this to be very resourceful and interesting, so I wanted to share it. Okay, so one of the main reasons why tithing could be, you know, a conflict in a marriage is because it involves money, all right? it's a prime candidate for controversy between a husband and a wife. And come on, let's say that. They say that. Statistically, marriages fall apart over money, literally, okay? So, if both spouses are Christian, okay, they should have a desire to please the Lord, according to this article. And I believe that. I think, you know, if you're both Christian, like your principles are in, you know, the same unison, you believe in the same things. So therefore, you're going to walk the same path most of the time. Of course, you have other factors playing into that, like character, where you've been, you know, where you've been, where you come from, all that other stuff. But bottom line, if you're Christian, you should be able to follow through with that. Okay. So it's important for both spouses to be trained in God's principles of finance. That way they'll understand that tithing is God ordained. Remember how I went over those other principles, the reason why we tithe and how, and what's supposed to happen, like, you know, those three things, remember? So this kind of just like puts that mindset here. So not just a personal desire that one spouse is trying to impose on the other. Okay, you're not imposing this. This is not something that you forced on your spouse to do. It's something that you willfully do. Okay, it's not like taxes. All right, so giving should come from the heart, you know, according to this article. So tithing is not a law, but rather an indicator of obedience of God's law. And that's, wow. This part for me is huge, because I remember at one point, a husband and I were going to church fairly religiously. And he actually, you know, has a little, you know, things about going to church too. He does believe in God, but he actually, you know, because of childhood experiences, views the church a little bit differently than I do, and therefore also views tithing a little bit differently. So I was kind of pushy about it, and I really feel bad about being pushy about tithing, especially now reading this article. So and it says the tithe's purpose is to be an individual or family testimony of God's ownership. It was never intended that everyone should give the same amount or in the same way. So that each should give bountifully and cheerfully. So you should be happy about tithing. It shouldn't be like a task or chore. It should be like something that you want to do of your heart, which I understand now fully reading and understanding and just really reading this paragraph. It actually enlightens this for me. Verse or chapter that they are referencing right now for this particular segment is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. So now we're going to touch on if one spouse is an unbeliever, okay? The problem becomes more complicated when one spouse is an unbeliever. Blah, 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 blah. Since it's the responsibility of the husband. Okay, guys, I'm not knocking it. This is in the website. I'm just reading it. I'm not being a wife about this. I'm just reading it as it is. Okay, I'm not even the author of this thing. So since it's the responsibility of the husband to be the leader in his home, if the wife is an unbeliever, why do I keep saying it like that? Anyway, if the wife is an unbeliever, husbands must obey the Lord's direction. Okay. Husbands need to realize, however, that the Lord is more concerned about the wife's soul than about the money. And that's big, because you have a lot of people that really are like, no, we have to tithe. We have to do this right now. Go, go, go. Or no, we have to like, go do that philanthropic thing because I love giving, and because I love giving, you got to do it. You know, that, you know, like it shouldn't be about you only. It should be about a, you know, a communication between you two. So if tithing becomes an obstacle to the wife, husbands should consider not tithing temporarily in order to win their wives to the Lord. So don't push them away by forcing them to do something they don't really enjoy. Really just taper it back and, you know, willfully do it, because husbands need to counsel their wives. Okay. pray with them, and seek their opinion and direction. But according to God's word, the decision is ultimately the husband's, because you're the head of the household, you lead, and it's your job to do that. So it's your decision to decide if we're a tithing family or not. Get it, hubbies? Okay. And this is his reasoning, because most wives in America today are looking for strong leadership that seems to be lacking in many marriages. Okay. All right, guys, take a listen. Husbands need to take the lead regarding tithing. And that's it. That's the end input, end all be all. Okay. You're the head of the household. You need to take the lead on it. Okay. So if the unbelieving spouse is the husband, the believing wife should submit to his wishes. Okay. Because remember, again, the man is what decides the house. Okay. And trust that her submissive attitude will win him to the Lord. And for reference on this, women, okay, wives are like, what? I have to listen to him? Yes, you do. That is being a submissive wife. That is being of good character. You have to see 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Remember, it is not the money, but the attitude, okay, of the heart about which the Lord is most concerned. So this is why it's more important for you to follow your husband than it is to do the tithing, okay? So if wives have made commitments to give and their husband objects to giving, God sees the desire of the wife's heart. So he knows that you want to do this, but it's because your husband doesn't want to tithe, so you're not tithing, okay? And you know what? Thinking back to this, I totally get it. I get it. Remember the story I told you in the beginning? Like my husband, he doesn't want to tithe, and I want to tithe, and he doesn't want to tithe, and tithing, and then he didn't want to tithe the amount of money I wanted to tithe, and it was crazy, and I literally got upset. And it does turn into just being about the money rather than focusing on, you know, God's commandment, your heart. Okay. Even though wives honor their husband's wishes, God will bless because of the wife's attitude, not because of giving. Okay. So a wife might still ask her husband to let her give an amount smaller than the tithe for at least a year. Okay. And this is just to show, you know, that, hey, this works. Let's do this. You know, when you tithe on your finances, you receive. So if at the end of the year, the family is worse off financially as a result of the giving, she will agree to stop giving. Okay. If the family is better off, the husband may agree to give more. So you can also reference this in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. The Lord says to test him in this thing, tithing. Okay. Often this is just the opportunity for God to prove himself real to a doubting spouse. So if you just taper it back, let's say you used to give 20 and then your hubby's like, no, and you're like, okay, well, can we do like 10 or 5? And he says 5, right? So you tithe 5, and then you always notice that you're like always blessed for it. Then it might encourage your spouse, not might, more than likely it will, to give more. So he can be blessed more. You see how that works? So, in conclusion, giving the tithe is the outward expression of inner commitment, okay? Or lack of it. So, if you know, you can take that with a grain of salt. Let it marinate for a little bit. Understand it for a second. So, giving the tithe is the outward expression of inner commitment or the lack of it. It is material and financial surrender prompted by spiritual surrender. However, if couples do not tithe because one spouse objects to tithing, the subject should be placed on the back burner, okay? Because it's more important to solidify and keep your marriage safe rather than have conflict over tithing, okay? So until they're able to discuss and study the principles of tithing together as husband and wife, because remember, this is a commitment that you both should make together, together, together. Those of you listening, this is marriage and money, okay? Together. All right. I hope you guys really enjoyed this segment and found a lot of takeaways that you could perhaps exercise into your relationships, whether it's philanthropic giving. these words that I'm choosing to say, or, you know, literal tithing at church, like giving to the church, or giving in its whole substance. You know, like sometimes we have spouses that give too much money other places that they ought not to, and it's not a cohesive agreement between you and your spouse. You can apply these principles there. Okay? So, really, really do hope you enjoyed it. If you didn't like it, share it anyway. And if you really enjoyed it, please share it to someone. Share it to a friend that is looking to be married. Share it to a single person that could probably use these principles in their life. Share it to another married couple that, I don't know, that you love. And you really want to love them in this way, give them financial freedom, share. And don't forget to hit that beautiful subscribe button right there so you can catch more new episodes on the different topics that I talk about almost every day. This is your girl, Angie B, and thanks for listening. Hello, hello, hello. It's your girl, Angie B, on Crystal's View. And I'm chiming in from all the way in San Antonio, Texas. I'm away for my hourly work, or actually my contracted work. I really love it here. For those of you who don't know, I am licensed within the beauty of industry, and I really enjoy this industry. I don't know if you gather, but if you listen to my blog, I do a lot of stuff, and I think being seasoned in that way actually can be beneficial because it allows you to learn more about who you are and allows you to become a little bit more developed and aware of your environment and the things, you know, that you have, you know of, you know what I mean? So today I just decided to chime on and get on my little podcast here and, you know, say hello to the world, because I realized I've gotten busy and I haven't even paid attention to this thing. How often does that happen to you? I've had a lot of changes actually occur in my personal. So I've been so much on a ship that I've actually neglected my favorite thing to do. And that's just sowing into people and, you know, creating positivity. So what I wanted to do today on today's show was just really talk about that. Like, how often as human beings do we really do that? Like, we get so busy and wrapped up, we forget the things that make us happy. Like, we forget to just, you know, go out there and put ourselves out there and really just give it our all, right? Like, even, okay, let's talk about it. How many of you guys remember in the beginning of the year made those resolutions to go to the gym like every single day this year, or just three times or once a week at least? And how often really have you done that? Okay, I'm not telling you to sit and knock yourself for it, but you know, life happens and it's okay that you've missed it. You just need to realize that you've missed it and just get right back on. That's all. And I think that's the problem with a lot of things like that. People tend to really just take things a little harder than they should. Because, I mean, not everybody likes to fail or fail others, right? I mean, if you're a prayerful person and you really do care, you would feel that way. So I challenge you today to really take a peel back, like really take a step back and look at everything that you said you were going to do this year. Look at what you've done and think about where you would like to go and think about the results that you want. Okay. And that's important because the reason why you want to think about the results is because it's really what's going to keep you motivated. It's your why. And having a why is just so important when you want to achieve something. Because if you achieve something without purpose, then it becomes empty. So you want to achieve something, you have to have a why. What is your reason? Like my reason, and I'm going to be very like honest, very transparent here. A while back, I was actually diagnosed with cervical cancer. It was, like in early stages of it. I had surgery. They tested, whatever they had to. And they found out that because I had made changes prior to getting diagnosed, that my body was in fact healing itself. Yeah, okay. Some of you guys are going to be listening to my blog right now and be like, this is bullshit. I don't care what you have to feel, what you feel about that. The reality is that's my story. And I have the tests and the surgery and the time frame to prove it. Now, what I'm getting at is that I was devastated when I first got the diagnosis because my only dream was to have kids and to be alive on this planet, taking care of them and being around for as long as I possibly could. But in that same breath, in that same moment, I was also on another course where I was trying to heal my internals. Yes, I had changed my diet and my lifestyle, but I have an issue with my digestive system. The primary portions of it, the upper part of the esophagus where it leads in. I had recently gotten diagnosed with a severe case of Barrett's esophagus, which is another diagnosis that leads to cancer. So needless to say, I am still right now working on ways to fix that. It's hard to eat meals. It's hard to, not think about it. And it's a daunting thing in the back of my head. It's actually the biggest thing to think about. And I don't know why I chose today to be very frank and transparent about it. But the thing is that you just have to make a decision about what you want and what's most important to you. Because I think a lot of people focus on the wrong things. I mean, really and seriously, if you died tomorrow, would it matter? That's the question you should ask when you're trying to actually strive for a strong why. If I died, would it matter? What type of legacy am I leaving behind? What type of story? What type of trail am I blazing? What type of human am I? Right? So these are things that I think about. And I want to make sure that whatever impression that I leave, if I end up not being here to see any of my grandchildren when I get older, or to live a full life, I want to make sure that I made the best impression on everyone, because there's just so much more to life than money, than being gaudy, than just having anything of that isn't really valuable, okay? Not in a monetary sense, but in a human sense, be around, sometimes it's important to be prayerful about how the way you treat people, because you just don't know if they'll be here tomorrow. Someone may look healthy to you and the next day just die. You have to think about that. And I think we as humans get so caught up in like the most menial, tiniest things that we really take everything for granted. So I didn't mean again to get on that wavelength here. But, you know, my show is very freestyle-like anyway. I mean, I talk about anything and everything. I think this is the first time I've actually been real raw and emotional here. Again, if you think I'm faking it, I don't give a shit. Okay? I really don't. About that portion of your opinion when it comes to my feelings and my thought process. But I genuinely feel like we lose ourselves in sometimes in the world when we don't peel back and really reevaluate what it is that we are donating or giving of ourselves. And granted, I'm not telling anybody to give from an empty cup. If your cup is empty, you need filling. And you need people that are going to fill your cup up. And what I mean by that is sometimes people get in the lowest planes, right? And there's an opposite effect of that. They get in the lowest planes. Those are the people that need their cup filled until it runs over. You know why? Because once it runs over, we're supposed to pick up the next person. We're supposed to fill up other cups. It's not runneth over and keep. It's runneth over and, you know, supplicate, duplicate, okay, replicate, all right? And I think we've lost that as a society. We've lost that in the familial nucleus. Think about that. Think about how many parents out there are just having kids to just have kids. And not really duplicating healthy habits. They're duplicating bad habits because those kids will in turn just have kids to have kids and then they grow up with issues. Like, no one really wants to really take responsibility for their effect of their into their own environments. And your kids are a product of that environment. So you need to really take into an account of all of that. Okay, so although I didn't mean to get this deep today, I did. So just to lighten it up today, I would like to thank you for taking the time to listen to this, I don't know what, 15, 12 minute, I don't know how where it's going to end, but podcast today, all right? And I know a lot of us, our children are starting school this week. I don't know who... If you pray, great. If you don't pray, all right. I pray. So I've been praying and, you know, I just pray like over all the children in this world. I just hope that everybody, you know, is safe. Is safe. And it's scary that we actually have to think this way when we send our children that we've worked. I mean, I'm talking about those parents that really have tried to have babies or it's been really hard. I mean, and you've got those parents out there that really take that gift for granted. I'm not judging. I'm just, you know, stating facts. It's the truth. You know, you don't know the value of what you have until you couldn't have it. Okay? So getting back to your why, finding a purpose, it takes time. You're not going to find that overnight. But if you do an evaluation and you really take a look at all the interactions you've had with people, things that people have said to you, things that people have sown into you personally, in what directions, things that people have said that you need to grow, like coaching that you've gotten. It's not a negative thing if someone tells you something that seems negative. You know, you need to just receive the message and grow from it, because that's the only way you're going to enforce and imply change in your life and in you. Nothing will change in your life until you change you. And you have to be habit forming. Okay? You have to be habit forming. You have to decide that this is something that I'm going to do, and then you have to put action behind it. You can't just open your mouth, talk, and then that's it, because that's not how it happens. It starts that way. It starts that way, but it doesn't end or come to truth or fact or alive that way. Okay? So you be blessed. Have an amazing day, and thanks for listening.